of serving, and this is the last one before our review next week, so we're done with this sub-series or whatever. So, what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember while I take another bite of oatmeal cookie? Yeah, the spiritual gifts. Have any questions about those? What passages talk about spiritual gifts? Pretty easy to remember. There's four of them, but they're easy to remember. I gave you a little easy way to remember. 2 12s, 2 4s. Romans 12, and Judy said 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we put off to the side, as we understand it, those are positions, people, not gifts themselves. They might be, these people would have gifts, but the positions are different than the gifts. There's not a gift of pastoring. There's not a gift of evangelism. There's a position of evangelism, for example, a position of a pastor, as I would understand it. Which one was probably first, the list? We're still echoing all that. I meant the which passage, sorry. They were chronological, and I gave numbers at the top. One was early, and so the gifts are more temporary, they're revelatory. In other words, they shared what God said. Lynn, we're still echoing here. Echo, echo, echo. That's okay. 1 Corinthians 12, it's the tongues, the healing and all of that. That was the early on. Which one was toward the end? Romans 12. Romans 12 only lists seven gifts. And one of them, all the tongues and all that, that was gone. And there was, the only thing left was prophecy, teaching, leading, giving, helping, or ministry. I'm trying to think of the others. There's a total of seven. Mercy, showing mercy. What was leading? Yep. So, and prophecy, by my understanding, would be no more. That Bible says that when there'll be prophecy, that will cease. That's direct revelation from God. I don't get it. I don't believe you get it. I believe that's what the Word of God is, and it's better than prophecy because it's written down. It's, you can refer back to it over and over, all of that. How many people have gifts? Yeah, everybody has at least one, the Bible says. Have you thought any more about that? Who has what? At all? Anybody think they know what their gift is? It's not the gift of eating. That's not one of them. Yes. Just think if we were enhanced, if we had enhanced ability to eat. Serving? I'm heartbroken because you are eating them. Yeah. So, but because I don't probably have the gift of exhortation, I won't get on your case for it.
I know that it is a gift of blarney.
Gift of what?
Blarney.
Blarney? Yeah, I don't think so.
Too bad.
Anyone at all? The spiritual gifts? What's it take to find out what your spiritual gift is?
Try
things. It said, I know it may be goofy and maybe you don't think I have the gift of teaching, but I was scared to death to be up in front of people. And so I would have never thought that, you know. But when I got started doing it some, and it came from leading singing to get over my stage fright. And then when you're in Georgia, you said, Brother Schubert, come up and sing a special number for us, will you? You know, that was the... You had that much time as like after the offering, Brother Suber will have him come out and sing a special, and you're like, flip, 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 flip. So you get over your fear real quick that way. But it, you know, things like God helps you do that. But I never would have known until you try. What's another thing?
Other people telling
you. Yeah, you're pretty good at that. You know, that says something, you know. What else? There are two others. Those are the middle two. Try things. What are you good at? What do other people say you're good at? There was a beginning and an end. Pardon me?
What results are gained?
Yeah, what are my results? Okay. No results. Okay. Maybe you shouldn't be in sales, you know. I'd be a lousy salesman. Oh, you don't need a tie? Okay. I won't sell you a tie that you don't need. Oh, okay. So, and no, it isn't the best tie because I'm not wearing that one. But sales is not a spiritual gift. But the idea is, you know, if after trying it and working it, you're just not ultimately good at it, there's no results, then that's, you know, maybe something that indicates that. But it's not like just because you have a failure doesn't mean you're not good at it either, because it takes time. What's the other one? The very first one I listed last week. Yeah, what do you like to do? I don't believe God wires us one way and then makes us do something else, okay, that way. Not to say that we aren't, how many here have to do things you don't like to do? Okay, got that out of the way, okay. It's not that, but I'm saying that's, we all are responsible to do all of these, but some of them are really good at it, okay. And we like to do them and we enjoy doing them. And it's like, you're like, you enjoy doing that? It's like, yeah, okay. It's a, I mean, people probably look at me and it's like, I enjoy teaching. It's like, I never would want to teach. Oh, really, you know. It's like, I understand that. Because some people aren't wired that way, and that's perfectly fine because they're not supposed to be wired that way.
I like helping people.
Yeah, exactly. Not like being helped.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm saying, you know, those kinds of things. Some people are better at organizing things. I was talking to my wife yesterday about this I don't know what her, I think she has multiple gifts, but I'm biased. I'm married to her. But I'll look at a task and I'll just be kind of semi-overwhelmed because it's just so much work, like moving out of a house.
Yeah.
All right? And I'm like, oh, I don't know where to start. And I can work, I start on something and I can do that. But the overall planning of that, my wife is excellent at stuff like that. You know, she can just organize and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of that leading kind of thing. And but she's also a good teacher, so she's really really good at that.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's just weird.
Yeah, she's very very good. So I mean, I'm just like, how do you do that?
I like doing filing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My wife's organizational ability is even evidenced in how she cooks, like, say, a breakfast. Like, I don't attempt to do that much. I might cook some eggs or something like that. But my wife can, like, have a breakfast, and it's like it's all there at the same time. If I cook breakfast with the same stuff in there, it's like, eat your eggs. The bacon will be here shortly. And then the toast. And then somehow it all, here's everything. It's like, how do you do that? It would take like 4 hours. It's like, it's linear to you. Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't usually ask me to help in the kitchen. It's still, it's like. Yes, apparently. It's a, or just, yeah. Is there anything I can do to help? Yeah. Step out of my way. Get out of the kitchen. Yeah. So anyway, but.
I've been the first kid that's ever been married in my family.
Yep. Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. Well, today, we're going to look at the fact that God rewards you for what you do. And it'll become very evident that God doesn't reward you only if you have some kind of popularity position or public position or something. Okay? So we're going to primarily be in the book of Matthew. So if you turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, we'll be in one place, two places I'll refer you to in Matthew, other than that. Turn to Matthew 6. I think I'm just going to go in order of the occurrence, even though they're not necessarily as logical. I didn't have that in this order on the notes, so you'll see them differently, but Matthew chapter 6, we'll just go in the occurrence and let's look at the first four verses. It says this, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So what I'd write down here, God rewards, I'm just using the term quiet service. Does that make sense? What do we mean by quiet service? Yeah, either before, during, or after. Hey, I'm about to do something wonderful. Hey, everybody, look here. I'm about ready to do something wonderful. And hey, did you see what I did? It was something wonderful. God says, hey, that's your reward. If you do stuff to be seen of men, you've got your reward already, and it's a very temporary reward.
Well, you see things that need to be done and just do it without being told.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have been told you don't do everything.
Right. Yep. Now, this is specifically charitable deeds. It does for fasting, and there's other things too, giving and all that. These are all listed in Matthew 6. But God rewards quiet service, and He says, don't worry, God will give you the attention you need at the right time. Okay, quiet service. Probably in this life, to some degree, everyone knows who's doing stuff. And also in the life to come. I believe that. So that's an easy one. He says over and over, don't fast. And he says, fast, but don't walk around looking like you're fasting. Don't give, but don't let everybody know what you're giving. Things like that. Let's turn to Matthew 10. In the last three verses of the chapter. This is profound. And this, to me, is enough of a takeaway today that if you can get this, there's no such thing as insignificant ministry. Verse 40, Matthew 10, "He who receives you receives me, He's talking to his disciples. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward. Are you a prophet? No. I just had him stay in my house overnight. Well, I'm looking at the tally here in heaven and you're up for a prophet's reward. Really? Okay? He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. All right? What is this saying? Before I write something on the board. What is this? Okay, and we know that. This says more than that. Yeah, there's a proportional rewarding system in God's eyes. Everyone that serves can't serve the same way, can they? Anybody here? Limited ability? Limited opportunity? I'm home taking care of the kids. I'm home, I'm just surviving. Well, do you get dinged from God because you aren't out there prophesying? I know prophesying is past, but you get my point. Because you're not prophesying? What's the deal? What's going on? This is huge, and I want you to get this. God rewards proportionately to ability and opportunity. What am I saying? What am I saying the Bible is saying? Proportionately, he's not given a measure-to-measure unit, okay? Well, he served as a prophet, so of course he's going to get a massive profit. But that's what God gifted him to do, gave him the ability to do, gave him the opportunity to do. And then somebody else over here, they may just bake cookies. All God's people said. Amen. Okay. They may just bake cookies. What's really bad is I'm being recorded and anyway. God rewards proportionately, or whatever the case might be, someone can't do the other stuff. Either come ability or opportunity. Maybe you have the ability, but God's never given you that open door. Okay? God rewards proportionately to ability and opportunity. If you receive a prophet in the prophet's name, you'll receive a prophet's reward. You are enabling the prophet to do what the prophet needs to do. Okay? So you get the prophet's reward. You get credit for helping. And what is your credit? You get the same reward. Okay? That to me is amazing. So there's no such thing as an insignificant service. All right? At the same time, let me put this over here. You'll have to look it out because I don't remember where it's found. Okay? What does this say? Jesus said this. Yeah, so God's grading scale is different for you. If you've been given much ability and much opportunity, God's going to require a whole lot more from those people. Okay? So, I don't know how to say it exactly, but I believe God looks on a maybe it, say it this way, percentage basis or something. It's how much did you do with what I gave you? Right, right. And you get the same reward. Yeah. Okay? God, what are you doing with what God's given you with where God has given it to you at? Okay? It's like your ability plus your opportunity. What are you doing with that? It's not what would I do if I had. It's what am I doing with what I have? Okay? Does that make sense? That's what God is rewarding you on the basis of. Well, it's like, well, if I had lots of money, I'd help lots of people. Really? Well, what are you doing with the $3 you have in your pocket? Now, I don't know how many times in ministry since I've been a pastor said, well, you know, my goal is to get independently wealthy so I can send a lot of missionaries to the mission field. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Do you give it all to God right now? No. Really? Because God says give based upon what you have, not what you don't have. Right? Oh, I'm going to do a lot to serve God. Well, what are you doing like right now? Nothing? Okay. You think life's going to get easier as you go and you're going to get all the service done at one time or something? Not going to happen, you know? God rewards proportionately to the ability and opportunity that you've been given. What are you doing with what you have right now? And your reward can be equally as great as someone who spends all of their time in ministry. Because you don't have that ability and or you don't have that opportunity. Isn't that neat? So all of a sudden it's like, really? So God isn't expecting me to change the world because of my circumstances. It's like, yeah. He's just expecting you to do what you can with what He's given you where you're at. Huh. He's not trying to make you feel guilty. He's trying to make you use what you have where you're at for His honor and glory. That's and the people that are out there doing, you know, that can and having gifted in all those ways, God's holding them to a higher standard because He's given that ability. So He's expecting that much more from them for them to get an A. Okay? It's like grading on a curve, kind of. I don't know, maybe not. So you know, you get an A. If you've done everything you can with what you could, where you're at, yeah, A. You get a prophet's reward. Really? I wasn't a prophet. Really? Yeah. Okay? God rewards proportionally to ability and opportunity. And by the way, that all comes from God, right? God assigns gifts. He assigns it by His. Have you had an opportunity to speak to thousands of people? Me neither. You know, that's not what God is. That's not the opportunity God's given you. Then He's not holding you to that task. He's holding you to the task He's given you, to the realm that He's given you, to the place He's placed you. I'm going to wait on that one. That's a good end one here. Here's the big one. Matthew 25. This to me too is the other profound one. It has to do with the rest, a specific time that I believe it gives an idea of how God evaluates people and what they do. Okay? It's a longer passage, but I want you to read along with me. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, okay? But hang on with this. Hang on to this. When the Son of Man is an Old Testament term for the Messiah, Jesus is talking about Himself here. Son of Man, Jesus, Christ, Messiah, all the same thing. Jesus is talking. He referred to Himself often as the Son of Man. It's a term, I believe, that shows up in the book of Daniel. Because it's God and man, He's the Son of Man. It's a term of deity, actually. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, when Jesus returns to earth, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So this is a specific time in the future, okay? Hasn't happened yet. Probably the end of the tribulation period, okay? When Jesus comes back to earth. He will set the sheep on the right, his right hand, but the goats on the left. By the way, at this juncture, there's nothing wrong with goats or sheep, but in this instance, goats are bad, sheep are good. Okay? Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So he's talking to the people on his right, the sheep. And notice what he says. For I was hungry. I was hungry, Jesus says. I was hungry and you gave me food. Oatmeal cookies. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So what, there's six things here. Let's list them real quick. They're pretty good. Pretty good list here. Get some different color. What are they? What's the first one? Hungry, right? Oops. Well, got the invisible marker here. What's the point? Okay. Hungry. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was stranger. Next.
Naked.
I was naked. You clothed me. Sick. Comforted me.
In prison.
You visited me. Got it? Is it comforted for sick? What it says? Hungry. Fed. You know, for a sick. Okay. First, okay, so give me something to drink, okay? Give me something to drink, all right? Notice verse 36, or verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king, now notice he's uses the change from son of man to king. Interchanging here, okay. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. What is he's saying? It's amazingly profound.
How you treat others. Kind of, I can't put it. Some use it as a poor. How you treat the poor. You use it how you treat everybody that's around you.
Mm-hmm. What else? How does God see what you do? Judy. We haven't got to the against part yet. But yeah, what's he saying? He says, if you've done it to any of the least of these, my brethren, I count it as you doing it to me personally. Does that change ministry at all in your eyes? It's like whatever you do, God takes it personally. Does that make sense? So when you serve, you're not just serving other people. When you're feeding somebody, because they're hungry. You're giving them something to drink because they're thirsty. You're visiting them because they're sick. You take them in because they're strangers. God says, you know what? I count that as you doing it to me. Wow. Does that change ministry at all? It's like you actually are serving Christ. Whatever you do. Okay, God counts it as for Him. Now, the same is true. Judy read ahead. A student, kind of. Then He will say to those in His left hand, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungry and you gave me no food, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? And then He will say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. See, it kind of reminds you, remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and Saul was blinded by the light, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the people? No, He said, me. You understand that Jesus takes that personally too. Why are you persecuting me? It's like, Saul never even saw Jesus as far as we know. It's like, well, you're hurting my people, you're hurting me. I'm taking it personally. Okay? So kind of the same way that where God takes that is direct to Him. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brother, in the same way that if we slight that and say, well, you didn't do that, then you aren't doing it to me. Okay. Now, again, this is a specific time and a specific place in the future. Unsaved and saved, apparently. The sheep as opposed to the goats. People have believed on the Lord and not. But it seems like God counts whatever you do for Him as doing, or for others as doing it for Him. Okay? And He says, the least of these, my brethren. So it seems to be directed to the body of Christ here. Maybe it's the nation Israel. I don't know. It depends on how you see that. But let me write it down. God rewards service to others as if done directly to Him. Okay? So at what point is that true? I honestly don't know, because He's talking about, you know, hungry, thirsty. Does that count moms cooking for their kids or their ornery husbands that are hungry or whatever? Why did you laugh, Lynn? I was trying to be serious. I would venture to say that's probably true. You know, to the level of whatever God rewards. He says, you're not wasting your time by serving your family. God's taking it personally. You're not, you know, and again, you're not wasting your time. If God hasn't called you to teach or to lead or whatever, you're not nothing. God is measuring that, you know, according to ability and opportunity, and you'll get the same reward as somebody that has more ability and more opportunity. It's what you do where you're at with what you have. Okay? And God takes it when you're taking care of that crying baby, or I'm not talking about husbands again now, okay? We're off that subject. you're caring for somebody. God's taking that personally as though you're ministering to Him. So what's wrong with that? There's a passage, I'm trying to think where it's at. I had it in my original notes that I didn't bring today. But it's in Colossians. It talks about the servants follow your masters. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, Colossians 3:24. You can just write that passage down. 3:23 says that whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And interesting, God is talking to slaves there. And it's like, you mean my economic situation doesn't keep me from being rewarded by God? It's like, absolutely not. You can be somebody's slave and God will reward you because you serve God ultimately. Wherever you are at, whatever opportunity or circumstance He's placed you in. Okay, so Ethan, when he's in, 40 below? Oh, yeah, it's not warm. It works in cold storage. It's like, can you serve God and honor God? I believe, absolutely. Okay, there's no shadow of doubt that that's, Ethan serves God in, how cold does it get? It's cold. But in the wintertime, he'd be coming outside to warm up. Think of it that way. But the idea, he's serving God right where you're at, kind of thing. Okay, it's not Pastor Ethan of the Cold Storage Church or something. No, it doesn't require that or take that. Okay, not to say that it won't be someday a Pastor Ethan of, you don't want a cold church though. That's another issue altogether. Okay? So God rewards service to others as if done directly to Him. Okay? Huge. But then also Colossians 3:24, the idea that God, you ultimately serve God in whatever you do, and He will reward you for whatever you do where you're at, where He's placed you. Okay? Two more. Let's go to Luke 6. And then we're going to jump back to Matthew, and then we'll be all done, I think. We might jump to Revelation too, but it's part of the other point. Luke chapter 6. This is interesting too. We talked about God wants us to serve, to promote, to grow His body and promote His kingdom for both reasons, okay? This is to promote His kingdom. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Verse 36. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. What's this saying? This one's a little bit different. I don't know if that makes sense. God rewards regardless of relationship. It's like, okay, if God is rewarding you, do you realize that He's rewarding you not only for what you do with people you like, but He'll also reward you for people, serving people that you don't like? As in, love your enemies. He will reward you for that as well. I had another passage, and I don't remember where it's at right now, but it talks about, hey, care for people that you don't know, or care for people that can't pay you back. That's like, if you do things for people that can pay you back, that's self-rewarding. It's not wrong. Just don't pat yourself on the back for having a gift exchange. You know, I gave them a gift and they gave me a gift. Why am I spiritual? And just a minute, I have to open up and see what I got. Whoa, I just broke the chair. Anyway, that's why there's two layers here. But does that make sense? You don't have to like people to love them. You don't have to somehow be connected to them to be able to serve them. And God will reward you for that as well. And that advances His kingdom. The Bible says, I think it's just one chapter over, actually. Matthew, oh, I guess we're not in Matthew. It talks about let's just jump up in the same chapter, Luke 6. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. I mean, that's even natural of a sinner to reciprocate. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive much back. But love your enemies. Okay? What I was saying is Matthew 5 talks about let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they may glorify God in the day of visitation, kind of idea. People are, you know, you're promoting the kingdom of God by what you do, even if there's no earthly payback. You'll be rewarded for that. Questions or comments? I got one more point. Two more passages, one more point. Let's go back to Matthew 16. It's the end of the chapter, almost. Verse 24. Often misquoted. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 16, 24. Who's he talking to? Okay, I was just making sure that we both read the same thing. So he's not telling them how to get to heaven. Okay, understand that. He's telling them how to live on earth. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Service is giving up of yourself for others. Okay, verse 26. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Now it says soul there, but it's the same word in Greek as the previous verse. And people get confused by it because the translators, for whatever reason, translated soul, and that gives a completely different idea. The word can be translated soul or life. But it's talking about your earthly life here. He's talking to disciples. What does a prophet do, man, if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? In other words, he wastes it. Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? Same word again. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Okay, so he's talking to disciples. How do you live your life on this earth? This is how you should live, not for yourself, for others. Follow Jesus, take up your cross, follow him, not do your own thing. And he will reward each according to his works. Okay. Let's turn now to the last chapter in the Bible. What chapter is that? We got, that's the last book. What's the last chapter? How many chapters of the book of Revelation? 22. So, don't get too picky about it because when it was written, there were no chapter numbers or verse numbers, right? Verse 12. Chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus is talking here. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my what? Reward is with me to give to everyone according to his... All right. It says it over and over. Where else are we told about rewards? What's the timing of the rewards? Let's hit on that first. Yeah. God rewards on His, and we're putting Jesus, return. How does that change things now? You do something now, do you get a check in the mail or something? Hey, big cookies.
Get blessings.
You get blessings, maybe. What if you do something for your enemy and he hits you for it? What a blessing. What's the point? You don't get paid now. You get paid when Jesus returns. Now, there are returns on what you do now to some degree or another. But the ultimate payment is made when Jesus comes back. I mentioned before, I think there'll be people that get rewarded that you've never heard of. That'll have very high reward. Why? They weren't popular. They never wrote a book. They were never interviewed on TV. They didn't have a t-shirt made in their honor. No one even knew when they died or were born or where they were buried. And yet because of the way they served, where they were at, where God placed them, when Jesus returns, He'll make sure everybody knows who they are. What types of rewards do people get in eternity? Any ideas? There's crowns. What are crowns? What are the crowns? Not by name, but what do crowns do? Crowns are at least... Yeah, it's at the very least is recognition. It's not a diadem. It's a wreath. But it's like a badge. When I was in the military, if you'd been through training, you got certain patches. I had an airborne and an air assault patch. So did half the place I was at. But that was significant. I didn't go to ranger school, but if you had went to ranger school, you had a ranger tab. Everyone knew what you had accomplished without saying a word.
Like a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout.
Yeah, your badges or whatever, yeah. It was an acknowledgement or recognition of your accomplishment, okay? The wreath, or I'll limit one more military thing, but if you served in a wartime capacity, you may not know this, but your unit patch is on your left arm, okay? Just standard. I wore the 24th Infantry Division Terra Leaf on my left arm. But if you'd fought in combat, the unit that you served in is over here, regardless of what unit you're in. So if you served in the CAV or the Special Forces or whatever, you'd have that patch there in wartime, no matter what unit you were in after that. And you also had, different awards that you wore based upon what you accomplished. What did they do this week? Was it last week? There was something very significant that happened at the White House. That hadn't happened in quite a while.
Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor was a given to a young man that was alive and from Hiawatha, Iowa. 25 years old or something. Most people, they're given posthumously Medals of Honor, stuff like that. Do you know much about the Medal of Honor? Highest award, and you're invited, just this fringe kind of stuff, you're invited to every inauguration. You have all these things because of that, and it's acknowledged. You don't have to say anything. It's there, and it's kind of like that idea. I believe there's eternal recognition for those that earn rewards. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, there are at least two that are there that are available to anybody. Okay, we haven't talked about those, but maybe we will sometime. What other kind of rewards are there? Eternal rewards. Not as a reward.
Oh, okay.
You're saved by what Jesus did, right? Not by your works. So it's a benefit, but it's a benefit of what Jesus did, not what we do.
Right.
What else? I'm just going to... The crowns... Rulership. There's... People are going to lead other people in eternity based upon their faithfulness and all. I'll give you, you're faithful over a few things, I'll give you leadership over many things. Okay, there's going to be economy, there's going to be infrastructure in the new heaven and new earth, and people are going to be in charge, and God's going to put people in charge that were faithful to Him. There's one more, and I don't know if this ties in with either of these two or something different, but the Bible says that some did not, in Hebrews 11, this is Hebrews 11, the Bible says that some did not turn their back on God in the time of persecution or whatever, knowing that they'll obtain a better resurrection. Read it, Hebrews 11, toward the end of the chapter. They could have gotten out of being tortured or killed or tortured to death, I suppose would be the thing. But instead, they stayed faithful to God, and God will give them a better resurrection, the Bible says. Okay, there's better resurrections on both sides. It'll be better for you in the day, or worse for you in the day of judgment than it would be for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's for unsaved. Jesus said to some people, it's like, you're kidding, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, because He said if the same message was preached to them that was preached to you, they would have repented. So he factors in opportunity. So there's at least recognition, rulership, and resurrection. Resurrection, everyone that's saved gets a resurrection. This is a better resurrection. Okay? It's not whether or not you have resurrection or not. In fact, everyone will be resurrected in one sense or another. All right? God rewards on His return. These rewards last forever. There's benefits. I get benefit just from knowing you and serving you. Maybe there's some reciprocal benefit or whatever. That we're not arguing against that. But there's also eternal benefits. You may not get benefit in this life by serving your enemies. You may not get recognition by doing what you do day in and day out that nobody sees. But God sees it, and He will ultimately give you the recognition that He will give you on His determination. Rulership, resurrection. Questions or comments? Is it worth serving? If these rewards last forever, which they seem to do, it's way better to serve and let God reward you later than to seek reward now for things that don't last. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for doing amazing things in our lives. Lord, saving us because we believed on Jesus, and that's it. Lord, teaching us to serve when we feel like we can't do much, and yet You reward us based upon what ability we have that You've given to us and the opportunities You've placed us in. And that's just profound, Lord, that You would reward us for that. Help us to be faithful. And Lord, not discouraged by our small part, but help us to just praise You, knowing that You reward us based upon the opportunities and abilities You've given us. And Lord, help us to never think that any service is insignificant as we serve You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.